Today we conclude our teaching series we've been going through entitled A New Beginning. And as we get started, I want to share an article with you. The British daily newspaper, The Guardian, published an article 5 years ago about Bonnie Ware, a nurse from Australia, who spent several years working in palliative care, caring for patients in the last 12 weeks of their lives. As Ware walked with her patients through the final stages of their lives, she witnessed how many of her patients gained, as she says, phenomenal clarity of vision as they approached death. Ware claims, when questioned about any regrets they had or anything they would do differently, common themes surfaced again and again. According to Ware, these are the top five regrets, the top five regrets of the dying from those she cared for. Number one, I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. Ware added, health brings a freedom few realize until they no longer have it. Second, I wish I hadn't worked so hard. Ware observed, this regret came from every male patient that I nursed. Number three, I wished I'd had the courage to express my feelings. Many people suppress their feelings in order to keep peace with others, says Ware. Many patients developed illnesses related to the bitterness and resentment they carried as a result. Number four, I wished I'd stayed in touch with my friends. Ware notes there are many deep regrets about not giving friendships the time and effort that they deserved. Everyone misses their friends when they are dying. And number five, I wish I'd let myself be happier. Ware commented, many did not realize until the end that happiness is a choice. They had stayed stuck in old patterns and habits. Now, that's an interesting article, and one with very keen insights. The fact is, we all have regrets. We all have regrets. Some are really big and some are small. And these regrets, remember, can be divided into three basic categories. One, regrets of action, something we wish we had not done. Then there are regrets of inaction, missed opportunities where we didn't take the action we wish we had. And last, regrets of reaction, something that happened to us. It was no fault of our own, yet we still feel remorse. We still feel regret. Whether it's something from last week, last year, or decades ago, we long to make things right, to change direction, to begin again, yet somehow our attempts to fulfill this longing elude us through life. We call this constant back and forth between longing and regret the sorry cycle. Sadly, it's a sequence too many of us live with every single day. The good news, however, is this: regret does not have to be the finish line. It can be the starting line. And during this series, we've talked through a three-step process that can help us experience a new beginning as we, one, recognize our regrets, face them head on, two, release our regrets, which usually involves seeking or offering forgiveness, and last, we let God do what only God can do, redeem our regrets and bring good from what we could only see as bad. But here's the thing, and don't miss this. You know, we've been through 4 weeks, 4 weeks of teaching around this topic. And my hunch is that some of us are still stuck in different places. Too many of us still feel painfully dizzy from going round and round in that sorry cycle. But why? Why is that? Why can't we escape this back and forth between longing and regret? Well, if you have a Bible or you can put your hands on one, I invite you to do so, to take a hold of it and follow along as together we explore why we often get stuck in our regret. But first, let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, let's get started. So why do we often get stuck? Well, in order to get to the why, I think there are a few questions we need to stop and ask ourselves. The first is this. Instead of recognizing my regret, am I turning a blind eye to it? There are endless reasons why we might turn a blind eye to regret, and here are just a few. Sometimes we don't understand how important it is to recognize our regret. It gets put in the back burner like that dirty casserole dish that we just don't want to take the time to really give it a really good cleaning. Sometimes we're too lazy. We're just too lazy to do the hard work of uncovering regret in our lives. We know it's important. We know we're supposed to do this, but we just refuse to do the work required to begin the process. And sometimes we're just too discouraged to begin the process. We doubt that any good could possibly come from it, or we assume our regret is simply too big or too painful, so we just let our inner voice of doubt win out and call the shots. But my guess is that if we're recoiling at the very beginning of this process, chances are we're afraid of the pain that will bubble up to the surface as we begin to identify our regrets. And if this is us, I want us to know, remember, we're not alone. Recognizing regret is like ripping off a bandage and touching a wound. There will be pain involved. There will be pain involved. It's almost always unavoidable. But what I've found is that being willing to face our regrets head on is the only way we begin to heal. Risking the short-term pain is well worth the long-term reward as we move forward in life. The Apostle Paul could have turned a blind eye to his regrets. And trust me, he had plenty to regret. This guy had a rap sheet that would make Al Capone blush. He could have ignored his regret totally, but he chose not to. When you read the letters that Paul wrote to those first Jesus followers, there was a sort of sacred vulnerability revealed. At a time when he might have been tempted to hide his regrets from his past as he worked to mobilize the Jesus movement, Paul chooses not to hide. He comes clean about what he had done before he became a follower of Jesus Christ. Listen to how he describes a portion of his ugly past in Acts chapter 22. Beginning in verse 4, we read, and this is Paul, the apostle, talking. He says, and I persecuted the followers of the way. I persecuted Jesus' followers, hounding some to death, arresting both men and women, and throwing them in prison. The high priest and the whole council of elders can testify that this is so, for I received letters from them to our Jewish brothers in Damascus, authorizing me to bring the followers of the way from there to Jerusalem in chains to be punished. And to the church at Corinth, he admits in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9, he says this. He says, for I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. Paul never, ever tried to hide his regret. He owned his mistakes, and if we ever hope to experience a new beginning, we too have to recognize and identify our regrets. We can't move forward until we face them, each and every one of them, head on. Don't give in to the temptation to turn a blind eye. The second question we need to stop and honestly ask ourselves is this. Instead of releasing my regret, Am I holding on to it? In some cases, our regrets can feel like a really bad wound. But in other cases, they can kind of become like a blanket, one that we'll find some sort of comfort holding on to. Often our feelings toward our regrets can be twisted up in our minds to the point that we really don't want to give them up. Maybe you've heard of the Stockholm Syndrome. It's a psychological situation, condition, in which hostages develop sympathy towards their captors. Well, as we've mentioned already, we do want to learn to love our regrets, but not to the point that we become attached to them. The Apostle Paul's baptism served as a pivotal catalyst that released him from his regret. As Paul continues to tell his story of finding his way back to God, he recalls a Jesus follower, Ananias, who challenged him in Acts 22, saying in verse 16, "What are you waiting for?" Ananias is talking to Paul. "What are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized. Have your sins washed away by calling on the name of the Lord." Paul had that life-altering realization that God's grace was bigger and more powerful than any regret he had or ever would embrace. He could loosen his white-knuckled grip on his regret and cling fully now to God's grace. And his baptism represented his letting go of those past regrets. And what's true with Paul is true with you and me. Like Paul, we too can loosen our grip on regret by clinging fully to God's grace, the grace revealed through the person of Jesus Christ. But if we're still kind of feeling stuck in that sorry cycle, I have one last question I want us to ask ourselves. Instead of redeeming my regret, am I resisting redemption? The beautiful thing about following Jesus is that God isn't interested in simply erasing our regrets. You see, he longs to redeem our regrets. Our pain can be leveraged to bring hope and healing to a world so desperate for it. God's plan was to redeem Paul's regrets by using him to help future generations find their way back to God. Listen as Paul continues his story in Acts chapter 22. Beginning in verse 17, Paul says this. Paul says, "After I returned to Jerusalem, I was praying in the temple and fell into a trance. I saw a vision of Jesus saying to me, 'Hurry, leave Jerusalem, for the people here won't accept your testimony about me.' But Lord, I argued, 'they certainly know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And I was in complete agreement when your witness Stephen was killed. I stood by and kept the coats they took off when they stoned him.'" Now, before we go on, notice something in this passage. Even after Paul had found his way back to God, can you hear regret trying to creep back into his life? God had this grand plan to use Paul to reach multitudes of people. But what's Paul's initial response? To dig up the past. He says, in a sense, "Remember all the bad things I've done, Lord." He's letting his regrets creep back into his life. I think we're all tempted to fall into that trap from time to time, to return to the sorry cycle. But what is God's response to Paul? He says in verse 21, "Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles." In other words, stop whining. I'm in control. Don't look back. Look forward. I've got you. I've got you. So go, go, go. God refuses to let Paul stay stuck in the sorry cycle. God refuses to let Paul's past define his future. Instead, God wants to redeem Paul's regrets by using him to help untold numbers of people find their way back to God. So what are you going to do the next time you feel regrets start to creep back into your life? Well, instead of resisting the work God wants to do in and through your life, will you let God redeem it? And when regret wants to drag us into the sorry cycle, let's work the new beginning loop. The moment we feel that twinge of regret, let's recognize the regret, stare it in the face, name it for what it is, and decide to own it, to embrace it, instead of letting the regret own and embrace us. Next, let's release our regret. Seek forgiveness and or release in whatever way necessary. Leave our regret in the past and move forward into a new and dynamic future. And finally, let God redeem our regrets, bringing something good from them, as only God can do. And the one thing we have to understand about the new beginning loop is this: to recognize, release, and redeem our regrets is not something we just do once. It's something we have to do over and over and over and over again. Living beyond regret is not a one-time decision. It's a way of life each and every day. The prophet Jeremiah puts it this way in Lamentations chapter 3. Check this out. It says, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning." Now, did you catch that? This is awesome. Did you catch that? It says every morning. Every morning. That means each day, each sunrise, each breath is a chance to experience God's mercies, an opportunity to breathe in God's grace, his love, and forgiveness. And here's the kicker. The new beginning loop isn't just for us. Here's what I mean. When we allow God to redeem, truly redeem our regrets, who gets the glory? God does. Telling our story of how God took something that seemed irredeemable and made it beautiful is a powerful way to give credit to our Father in heaven. But here's a second component. Living the new beginning loop can help others also. Paul didn't live beyond his regrets simply for himself. His life became a model for helping others live beyond the pain of their past. This is what it looks like to live in such a way that our regrets are no longer a finish line, but a starting line to something new and wonderful. Scott McKnight, in his book, The Jesus Creed, shares the following. He writes, he says, "Yellow is not my favorite color, but now that I know the story of Vincent van Gogh, I have come to value yellow differently. This famous Dutch painter sadly tossed away the truth imparted him in his Christian home and sank into depression and destruction. By the grace of God, as he later began to embrace this truth again, his life took on hope, and he gave that hope color. The best-kept secret of Van Gogh's life is that the truth he was discovering is seen in the gradual increase in the presence of the color yellow in his paintings. Yellow evoked for him the hope and warmth of the truth of God's love. And by the time he painted the raising of Lazarus, his life was on the mend as he began to face the truth about himself. The entire picture is bathed in yellow. In fact, Van Gogh put his own face on Lazarus to express his own hope in the mystery and wonder of the resurrection. Yellow tells the whole story. Life can begin all over again because of the truth and reality of God's love, mercy, and grace. Each of us, whether with actual yellows or metaphorical yellows, can begin to paint our lives with the fresh hope of a new beginning. So today can be the day we experience a new beginning. Now, sound grandiose, maybe a little over the top? Well, tell that to the Apostle Paul. His life was changed in an instant when he came face to face with Jesus. Tell that to Jacqueline and Greg, who have shared their stories with us via video during this series. Both of them found a life worth living when they allowed God to help them experience a new beginning. We are all at different places in our spiritual journeys. Some of us have been at this Jesus following thing for a long time, and others of us maybe are just beginning to kind of figure it out. This may be the first time we stepped foot in a church for years, or we may have been a part of this place for a long, long time. Either way, what I'm certain of is this: we all long for a fresh start in our lives, a chance to experience a new beginning. So in closing, I'd like to invite us to make our pew, our chair, an altar of prayer. But before we spend time in personal prayer, let me challenge us. For starters, if we have never consciously or intentionally accepted Jesus Christ and believed in him without reservation as Lord and Savior, then today is a good day to do so. And all we have to do is say, "Here, Lord, here I am. Come into my life. Make me the person you want me to be. Help me experience a new beginning and a fresh start in my life." If you've already put your trust in Jesus, then hold on to the promise that God's mercies are new every single morning. That means with God, every day is a new beginning. And that new beginning is available because of the grace and mercy we find and discover and embrace in Jesus Christ. Friends, today is a day to start over, to experience a new beginning, whether it's the first time or the 100th time. God's mercies are new every morning. We can experience today a new beginning. So what are we waiting for? A new beginning awaits each and every one of us. Jesus is calling us. He longs for us to put behind us the regrets of our past so we can embrace a startling and wonderful new future. So let's recognize, let's release, and allow Jesus to redeem our regrets for his glory, for the benefit of ourselves, and for the benefit of others. A new day dawns. A new beginning is within our grasp. May today be the day for us all. Let us be silent now before God.